Cause you see I'm a dinosaur. I should have died out a long time before. Have pity on a dinosaur.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday. Broadcasting live from the third floor. The Alabama State House. Always a big shout out to Leader Stedhagen for making the accommodations possible. In the meantime, text line 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program. Joining us now a friend of the show, State Representative Matt Simpson from Daphne. Representative, good morning. How you been?
It was a long day yesterday, but slept a little easier last night after that ethics bill passed the House.
Well, yeah, and it was, you know, were you surprised by the margin?
I was surprised by everything. I was surprised by the margin. I was surprised by how fast it went. You know, I think we had less than an hour of debate on that bill of that significance, but we put a lot of work in on the front end. You know, we've met with everybody we possibly can. We've talked to so many representatives, so many different groups and organizations, and so many different law enforcement agencies. You know, I've kind of been working on this bill for a year, so it's one of those things of, yes, it came and that was the big show, but it was kind of failed because we'd done so much work on the front end of it.
Well, I mean, and the hardest part, as far as I could tell, for you has been just the scrutiny, not the media. Yeah, but I mean, how much does Kyle Whitmire and those guys really matter? But, you know, you hear from the attorney general and you hear from a lot of ethics commissioners and then the director. And it was a little bit of a pile on, but in the end, it didn't seem to really, or maybe it did. Maybe it made you made some changes to the bill possible. Like, but really, what was your, walk us through that. I mean, how you had obviously listened to their concerns, but how much did that influence the process?
I mean, it influenced a great deal. I mean, we met several times with the Attorney General's office, the District Attorneys Association. The District Attorneys endorsed the bill. Their association supported the bill, supports the bill, and endorsed the bill. It was a unanimous vote of the district attorneys that were on the call that endorsed the bill through there. So we've taken a lot of input from people that practice and do that. You know, I was disappointed with Attorney General Marshall's statement yesterday that he released. We had spent a lot of time, first of all, trying to get them to come to the table. And then finally, when they came to the table, trying to take some of the suggestions and some of their requests to come in. At the end of the day, we tried to do as much as we can that did not affect the substance and the main principles of what we were trying to do with the bill. And you know, like I said, I'm a big fan of Steve Marshall, big fan of his office, you know, support the Attorney General's office. We just disagree on this issue. I think it strengthens the laws in Alabama. I think it strengthens and makes the ethics laws easier to prosecute, makes them tougher, makes them stiffer. And so it's one of those things of, you know, we can agree to disagree on an issue.
Well, here's the rub. I mean, and how they were addressed or whatever is another discussion, but just like heading into this session, I mean, I think we can acknowledge there were some problems with the ethics law. And to me, I look at it as this, and then I hear this when y'all went through orientation, back when you were a freshman, it was like you have three lawyers up there and they're explaining the ethics law. And somebody asks a question, and you get three different responses. And they're very contradictory responses, not just kind of on the margins. But, like, what occurs to me, Representative, is and this is always a concern, is when this law was written, for better or for worse, it came at a time when things were kind of in a rush. And I know Riley's on his way out, Bentley's coming in, and he wanted to get something done with a new Republican majority. But you have a law that I think is so broadly interpreted that it gives power to weaponize it, and particularly when it deals with government, and you can have ethics laws used against your political opponents because they're a matter of interpretation, and you can just pick and choose your laws and then go after somebody.
That's exactly right. And you know, any prosecutor worth their salt is not going to just stack charges and try to get leverage. They're going to charge the person with what they're charged, what the crime was committed. You know, you don't just try to say, oh, well, if you take this away, then that means we can't charge this, because if we can't charge this, that means we can't get the plea in the other issue. That's not right. That's just the wrong way to think about it.
Well, it's just what happened to Trump, right? I mean, just like people don't like the weaponization of our justice system. And I'm not saying that's necessarily gone on in Alabama like it has, but it shouldn't be that open-ended. If you're a government employee of the state of Alabama, you need to know what the rules are. And right now the rules seem to be fluid.
Very much so. And you're exactly right. That was rushed through in 2010. There were a number of people that tried to change some laws back in 2016. I think there was a big push in 2016. What ended up passing in 2018 was a law that created a commission that was required to come in and look at these laws and look at what the ethics laws say. What can we do to fix them? That commission, coincidentally, was chaired by Steve Marshall and Tom Allbritton. And in the first sentence, from what that said, it talked the second sentence, and I used this yesterday, and let me pull it up just to make sure that I'm using the correct language through this process. The language from the second sentence of the report authored by Steve Marshall and Tom Allbritton, that they were co-chairs of this committee, said the following. It said, in establishing the commission, the legislature recognized that the current code of ethics was originally enacted more than 40 years ago and has been amended at least 25 times since that time, and that the piecemeal amendments combined with evolving interpretations of portions of the code have created confusion regarding the scope and application of the numerous sections of the code. The legislature further recognized in the act that the code of ethics applies to more than 300,000 individuals and their families in our state, from statewide elected officials to local public servants, such that teachers and firefighters and the public is best served by clearly articulated ethical standards and policies so that our state's public servants and the general public can better ensure that our government operates with confidence and integrity. That's their words, not mine. So when they come out against it and say, well, this is crazy, this is this. No, we just drew where the lines were. This is what everybody's been saying that we needed. Just tell us where the lines are. It's one of those things of, if you can be prosecuted for the offense, if you commit a crime that's going to go to prison, you will be prosecuted by the attorney general or the district or the local district attorney. If it's a civil violation, that will be handled through the ethics commission, and they can form with their administrative resolutions, and that will be handled in that way. So it's just clear delineation of, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, and this is how it's handled. We increased the crime of bribery to a Class B felony from a Class C felony. We made the crime of use of office for pecuniary gain, where if you gain more than $10,000, the public servant elected official gains more than $10,000, it's a Class B felony, which is 2 to 20 years in prison. If it's between $10,000 and $2,500, it's a Class C felony. If it's less than $2,500 but more than $1,500, it's Class A misdemeanor. So all these crimes are now just taken out of the ethics code and moved into the criminal code. And so that's where I really have issues with a lot of the coverage. You read AL.com. I've tried to convince AL.com and Kyle Whitmire, and I've got John Archibalds and J.D. Crow writing cartoons about stuff. They keep saying you've taken crimes away from the ethics commission, and that's true. But it leaves out the whole part of, yes, they're no longer part of the ethics commission. Now they're prosecuted by the DAs and the attorney general and the criminal code.
Well, this is just a problem we have right now. You have a turf war between the ethics commission and the attorney general. And I mean, I get it. I mean, I kind of get where they're coming from, but somebody's got to say, this is where you began and where you end. And we just didn't have that. And we still don't have that. And we have these, like I said, these turf war battles pop up all the time. And the Ethics Commission and AG's office are always going back and forth. Who's supposed to solve that if not the Alabama legislature?
That's the case I've been trying to make to the people. And so, yeah, I've gotten the rough articles written about it. And I understand General Marshall's upset. And I understand Tom Allbritton's upset. I do feel like I'm one of the few people in Alabama that can get Tom Allbritton and Steve Marshall to agree on anything, and they agree that they don't like this bill. But my point and what I'm telling everybody, and my position has been, if Steve Marshall thinks that this bill does not go far enough, and Tom Allbritton thinks this bill goes too far, we're probably right in the sweet spot for the people of Alabama.
Well, I'll tell you, Representative, because I remember when they tried this, the quadrennium before last, and what, yeah, Del Marsh go on Matt Murphy's radio show up in Birmingham and then sort of died there. But it was always like the third rail. And what surprises me about this issue is just how the forces that be will like kind of rally around just stopping whatever and keeping anything from changing with the status quo. They tried that this time. It's the same guys that were cheerleading on Matt Hart when he was prosecuting Hubbard. We know that's where a lot of this comes from, I think, when it comes to that AL.com crowd. But there's never this acknowledgement from those guys that something had to be done. And I think it's pretty clear that the ethics framework that the state is governed by now is fraught with problems. And every time an effort's underway to try to do something about it, it's just demagogued, it's villainized, it's like you guys are trying to get free lunches, and it's just kind of kept this, like, open-ended status quo from happening. And I'll be honest, Representative, when I heard you were taking this up, I it's like they're gonna go straight for the jugular on you on this one.
Mm-hmm. I anticipated it. I didn't get elected to be worried about making sure that I continue to get reelected. I got elected to try to make a difference and try to make a change. I've prosecuted ethics cases. I prosecuted someone. I was in the DA's office over in Baldwin County. I've been a career prosecutor. This is what I do as far as prosecutions. So I feel like I'm the right person to take this up because I have the background, and I'm not worried about the Kyle Whitmire articles. I'm not worried about
there's no reason to be doing. No,
I'm not worried about
move the needle.
I feel like I may have made it in Alabama politics. I finally got a J.D. Crow written or a picture drawn about me, even though I was, I think, smothering an old lady with ethics.
At least you're already in a Klan robe. That's usually the go-to.
You know, he stays with pillowcases. Mine just happened to be a pillow on there.
He's my neighbor. Did you know?
I did not know that.
I live down the street from J.D. Crow.
Wow. Okay. Good to know.
I've waved to him a few times. He has no idea who I am.
Nice. But no, I fully anticipated the barrage of people just coming at me, and that's fine. At the end of the day, I know where the bill is. I know what the intent behind the bill. I know what the reasoning behind the bill, and I'm trying to take the politics out of it and just look at the policy. So anytime anybody asks questions or they'll read an AL.com article or come at me on Twitter or come at me on Facebook, and this, my simple response, even to former U.S. Senator Doug Jones, when he mentioned the bill, have you read the bill? Now, are you just reading what people want you to think and what you're saying? If you actually read the bill and see what it says, you'll see it's a pro-prosecution bill. It's not slanted in a way. It allows prosecutions, but it also allows some reasonable, rational, common sense into our ethics laws.
I still can't get over how they rally around, like, just stopping anything to change the bill. And it's one of the more effective strategies in Alabama politics is knocking down any efforts to change the ethics law. Just a concerted effort from the media and the state, the usual suspects, but I mean, in the end, Representative, I mean, you got, it sailed through the House of Representatives bipartisan.
Yeah, and that's one thing that we're trying to focus on is so many people focus on the 140 people in this building, the legislators in this building. This ethics laws affects so many people. It's 300,000 directly who fall under your local, state, and county employees. That means your teachers, your firefighters, your maintenance workers. We had a guy that was a maintenance worker, and I got to tell this story, Jeff, and this is kind of part of the reason. We had a maintenance worker that used to work for a city, and what he did was he cut grass. Well, he had a personal lawnmower, and he bought a new lawnmower for his personal use. I mean, his own personal lawnmower. The personal funds, this was his own private lawnmower. When he got his new lawnmower, he donated his old private lawnmower to the city and said, hey, you guys use this. It can help you use some stuff through there. Well, at one point, his new lawnmower goes out and needs to get worked on. So he goes back to get his old lawnmower and cuts his personal grass with his old lawnmower. And that's an ethics violation because he used his office for personal gain and he had to pay $1,000 fine for using his own lawnmower that he donated. It's stupid stuff like that. That's not what the law is intended for. So when people say, yeah, you raise the gift ban to $100. Yeah, we raise the gift ban to $100 because I thought there's a lot of people that want to give their teachers of their students more than $25 gift card at the end of the year. I don't want to tell you how often I know, but $25 probably spends about three drinks at Starbucks. Right. Sometimes people, let's let a teacher go out to a nice dinner. Let's let you give them up to $100 gift to be able to do this. Now we put a limit on it. You can't give more than $500 in a year. But this is not about the legislature. This is about the public employee. This is about just drawing a fine line and being able to tell people you can do this, you can't do this.
Well, it's just it never ceases to amaze me that it's always just looked at through the lens of it's you guys writing the laws for yourself, which is true. But there's so many more public employees, like you say, and I think people don't realize that the ethics laws apply to all of the civil servants in state government. Just a couple more minutes, Representative, before we get you out of here. Alabama in the Final Four. What's your take?
Roll Tide. This is a dream. Like, this is when we were in school, my wife and I were school at Alabama. Alabama didn't have the best of football teams when we were there. So we were one of the initial people that joined Mark's Madness when Mark Gottfried was the coach. And so that Crimson Chaos now, we were the original Mark's Madness. We would go to basketball games, and I've just been a huge Alabama basketball fan for as long as I can remember. I get more into basketball than I really do football. I love football. My wife is huge football, but I'm more into the basketball. A Final Four is just absolutely a dream scenario for me. I'm such a big fan of Nate Oates and what he's done. This is his best coaching job by far. These kids have been absolutely playing out of their mind. You know, we're playing with house money at this point. You know, I'm just excited about the opportunity to watch them play against UConn on Saturday night. Wish I was able to attend, but, you know, maybe someday.
Well, I mean, and I'll attest to it. I mean, you follow Alabama basketball as about as well as anybody that I can remember, even when they were not that good, you know?
That's fair. Even through the rough years, we had some very rough years.
You and my buddy Hunter Johnson.
I got a chance to meet Hunter the other day. I went to a game, and I saw him at one of the things, and it was a pleasure. I followed him on Twitter. We interact on Twitter every once in a while. I like to be on Bama basketball Twitter. But, Hunter's a good guy.
Hey, we got to get out of here out of time, but Representative, best of luck to you, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
State Representative Matt Simpson there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Sweet home.